First Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. I guess we may be using different versions. I'll be using the ESV. And let us read this passage together, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, beginning with verse 12. Whatever version that you have in your hand, that is fine. And let us read together. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. How many of you have ever been despised by others, been belittled, being looked down upon? You do. How about others? Only one person being ever experienced being despised. Anyone else being despised, being looked down upon, being belittled? Okay, good. Now we're getting there. For whatever reason, isn't it? How do you feel when you were being despised? Okay, you first? You don't feel very good. Okay, you don't feel very good. So can you describe to us what that feeling is? Don't feel very good. What is that? When you say, I don't feel very good, what else can you help us to understand that kind of feeling?
I felt
being rejected. Okay. Anyone else? When people despise you, look down upon you for whatever the reason, we have the feeling of being rejected, and we also misunderstood. Okay. How about anyone else? Don't feel very good. How about you? Not very pleasant. Emotionally, it's a kind of very upsetting feeling. What do you do when you're being despised, when you feel being rejected, being misunderstood, being belittled, you don't feel very good, not a pleasant feeling? What do you do? You cry. Okay. How about some others? Especially those who are, I've been despised, belittled, being looked down upon. You talk back. Okay. You're cussing enough. You talk back. Okay, you talk back, you cry, and then what? What else? You're angry. So what do you do when you're angry? Pardon? I didn't hear you. Not good things. You're very honest. Yeah, those are not too good things, right? And what else? You cried. crying. How many of us would just run away, withdraw, avoid? We do that too, right? Have we ever looked down on other people? We do too, right? There are all kinds of reasons for being despised, being looked down, sometimes because of our language. I think the younger generation, you probably don't have this problem. I think your parents probably will have, right? You say, what? What do you say? I can't understand your English. Boy, that sometimes can be very annoying, right? Sometimes when I had to tell others my last name over the phone, I said, Shui. They said, what? Hashu? I said, no, not Hashu. So I can't have to think of a way. So what I do now when they ask me, what is your last name? I would say H as in Harry, S as in Sam, U as in uncle, E as in Edward, and H. It's frustrating. Every time when you tell them your last name, you go through this HS, what. And then some people will say, are you from, on the phone, of course, are you from Germany? Because the way they pronounce my Hsu. And then sometimes you also pick up that annoyance after one or two times they couldn't get your name. Right? They say, what? Those are the things that sometimes we get, we felt we're being looked down upon, not being respected. And then sometimes because of our skin color, right? For Larry and Jerry, maybe we ask, what are you doing here? And they say, what do you mean, what are we doing here? This is a community church, right? We're part of this community. And then if some of us will go to a quote-unquote Caucasian church, you may have been there for about 1 or 2 years. Every time when they see you, they will say, we are so glad that you are here. And then the next statement, they will say, boy, you speak really good English. You're thinking, what do you mean I speak good English? I was born here, I grew up here. Now, those are some of my experiences, and then they will solicit some kind of negative feelings within us. Sometimes they look at us, belittle us, because we're young. Right? Just now you were leading the worship. Even older men, I'm an older man too. Look at, what do these young people know how to lead worship? Right? They don't really know what they are doing. We can't have that kind of attitude, right? Those attitudes are not right. And sometimes the response was kind of negative too. We despise because of our language, because of our skin color. And then there are also times we despise because of our education. You probably have met people when you ask them, where you're from, what school did you go to? They would say, I only go to that particular school. I only. That means that school is not as good as the others. I understand quite a few kids from here, after graduating from high school, you will go to UT or Austin. Yeah. Well, I'm wrong. I don't try to be a even though my son is going there. I need to practice. I have to know my limitations too. What if you don't go to Austin? You go to a no-name little school. Then you would say, I only go to such and such school, right? We have that kind of, sometimes we look at people, we use those criteria, and sometimes it can hurt people, right? When you're hurt, you get really upset, a lot of your backup behavior will start to show up. Sometimes you fight back, you talk back, you argue, and sometimes you just withdraw. You isolate yourself, you avoid the situation, or avoid that person. Those are all the issues surrounding this whole idea of being despised, being looked down upon. I think especially those who are younger people, you probably heard your parents saying, what do you know? We have eaten more salt than you did with rice, right? The amount of salt that we have eaten is more than what you have eaten rice all your life. That's very prevalent in the Chinese culture. And when we look at the scriptures, we also recognize that David was despised by Goliath because of his age, because of his size. And then when we are despised, we have those backup behavior that we mentioned earlier. From the text that we read today in 1 Timothy chapter 4, apparently Timothy also had a similar problem. He was being looked down by others, most likely some of the older people, so-called the elderly, the elders, maybe even in his church, that he was just too young. And the most Bible scholars agree that at that time Timothy was probably around 35 or so. In those days, in that particular culture, 30, 35 is considered as young. Especially being a leader of that particular church, people would say, what do you know, Timothy? You're only 35 years old. And we are 50, we are 60, or even older. So Timothy was being looked down. And then it must not be a one-time incident. It appeared that it is a repeated problem. It is a pattern that Timothy was facing, being looked down because of his age. And it could have bothered Timothy so much that it was affecting his health, that later on Paul would suggest Timothy, you know, drink a little wine because your stomach is not good. And then we can guess, yeah, this must be bothering Timothy. And also to such an extent, Paul knew about the situation. And so in this letter, Paul specifically mentioned to Timothy, Timothy, don't let anyone despise you. So then let's take a look at, you know, what was Timothy supposed to do when he was being despised? When someone looked down upon you, belittle you for whatever reason, what should you do? What should I do? Nowadays, I don't really worry too much that being despised because I'm young. Sometimes the other way, things go the other way too. When you're older, you're being despised, right? When I ask you to explain to me all those new gadgets about the Facebook, I think the younger generation will have no patience. Oh, you don't want to know. It's too complicated. I would say, just tell me how to get into it. And then even before I learned how to go into Facebook, now you have the critters coming out. I don't even bother to go into that, right? People would tell, oh, you're too old for that. Of course, being young, younger ones, you don't want your parents going into the Facebook and can look at all the things that you wrote there, right? So what do you know? You're being old now, right? We feel that sometimes. So what do we do when we find ourselves in those situations? In verse 12, Paul instructed Timothy, saying that, Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. Don't let anyone despise you. We also notice here that Paul did not tell Timothy, Timothy, you better go and tell those people, stop looking down on you. If you go home and tell your mom that, Mom, you know, someone bullied me, probably your mom would say, no, you better go tell the kid, no, don't bully you anymore. Or else your parents will go, your mom or your dad will go to the school. Right? We say, oh, to stop that behavior. But Paul did none of those. Instead, Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, don't let other people despise. It's almost saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't let another person make you angry. Does that sound familiar? We always do the opposite, isn't it? He made me so mad. He made me so depressed. And then an experienced person probably would tell you, Jerry probably would say, no, no one can make you angry. No one can really make you depressed. You only allow yourself to let the other person make you angry or depressed. The same thing is happening here. It's easy for us to say, no, stop despising others. No, don't despise me anymore. Don't look down on me anymore. I don't like it. Instead, Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, don't let them despise you. You know, don't let them try to control you. And then when you try to react to them because they look down on you, now you're getting angry, sometimes you cry, sometimes you feel really upset, you avoid or you fight back. Do you know what is happening at that time? You are letting the other person controlling your behavior. Right? If you look down on me and then I start fighting back, I start being mean to you, yeah, in a way I feel good about it. You know, it's even now. But on the other hand, when you look at it, you're really letting the other person dictate how you're going to behave. So this is what Paul is saying in the first verse, saying, Timothy, don't let another person control you, even though that behavior was very negative, it was not right. Don't let that bother you. Instead, you are really to let God's word to shape you, Don't let another person define who you are, but really let God's word define you. So then Paul went on and tell Timothy, okay, instead of reacting to other people that way, these are the things that I want you to do. In this passage, Paul used four imperatives. It's like you do it, you have to, you must. Those imperatives, like commands, instructions. And then there's also one more in chapter 5. So among those imperatives, the first one is Timothy. Instead of reacting to others, I want you to be examples. You have to be an example. Just imagine, you'd be just being looked down upon by someone else, being despised. And then you hear this instruction, hey, be it examples. We constantly hear people say, we need the older men and women to be examples, to be role models for the younger ones. Right, that's very normal, especially in a Chinese culture. The older one will say, yeah, you need to be examples for the younger generations. But yet, for the younger generation who grew up here, we constantly would say, we don't really care, because you're very different from us. Your world is different from my world. Therefore, to be my example really doesn't quite make sense. And then, of course, the younger generation, when we look around, you see the world as is. You don't really find too many models anymore, isn't it? You look at the political figures, how many of them can be your models? Or you look at the religious figures. You look at, you read newspapers. You hear about all those failures of those well-known pastors, ministers. And then you look at your teachers and so on. You don't really have that sense of models anymore. So we see that kind of tension going on. The older one I instructed, you need to be an example model to others. And then the younger ones say, who are you? No, I don't really look up to anyone. So we try to look for heroes, models, at all the wrong places. We look at those movie stars, the rock singers, they are our models. And yet, sooner or later, you also get disillusioned. So the whole idea about being an example is kind of foreign to us and also to the culture here. But yet, as you look at the scriptures, being examples for others is a very dominant theme throughout the teachings in the Bible. We talk about when Paul was writing to the elders, he was telling them not so much as what you're going to do as an elder in the church, but rather saying that you need to be examples for the flock. And then we older ones, or we pastors, or even the leaders in your church will often tell you, no, don't look at us. Look at Christ. We're human beings. Don't look at me, look at Christ. It's a very humble statement too, right? But yet it is kind of not biblical. Paul told the Corinthian believers, hey, imitate me, look at me, follow me as I follow Christ. So humanly speaking, we say, well, we don't need any examples. We don't look up to those examples anymore. But yet in the scripture, keep telling us, you have to be an example. You have to be a model for others. So the scripture also go one step deeper, one step further, not stopping at, just being an example. But Paul very specifically instructs Timothy in several areas where you need to be an example. We look at the first two. The first two, that is, you need to be an example for others in words and in deeds. In the Bible, when we talk about using our word, it always refers to not to use your words to harm another person or to destroy another person. Words are so powerful. So one single word can destroy a person, can really make you feel so worthless. The scripture always forbids that. Don't let using words to harm or destroy a person. Instead, our words must always be characterized with gentleness, and it's edifying. It's good to the listeners. And then Timothy's conduct is to be just, to be honest, to be above reproach. That's what conduct refers to in the scripture. To be just, to be honest, above reproach. And then when we put these two words together, words and then conduct, it also means integrity. That your words and your deeds, your conduct must be consistent. There's the story about a couple who was about to go to church on Sunday morning. And then the new neighbor stopped by, knocked on the door, and her husband opened the door. And then the neighbor said, "Can I borrow your lawnmower this morning? I need to mow my lawn." For some reason, and the husband went back inside and then kind of have a little conversation with the wife. And the wife would say, "What? On Sunday morning? Mowing the lawn? He should be going to church on Sunday morning, not mowing the lawn. Just go tell him that our lawnmower is broken." You get it? The lawnmower is not broken. They were just about to go to church. And even before they stepped into church, she was telling a lie. You see that inconsistency? On one hand, you say, "I worship God." On the other hand, "I was telling a lie." There are plenty of inconsistencies around us. I think in where we live, in our family, we sometimes see our parents being inconsistent, right? Their behavior and their words, sometimes they don't go hand in hand, they go mad. And then sometimes we come to church, we say, "I know that person, his behavior in church and outside the church is a little different." And then also looking at ourselves too, right? We're not always consistent. We say one thing and then we act another. But Paul is telling Timothy here, "Timothy, I want to see consistency. I want to see integrity in your life." That behavior, inconsistent behavior, can also be shown in how we relate to others. I think about several situations when I was in China, went to a restaurant. I was always appalled by the way the waiters and the waitresses were treated by the customers, even by the very young customers. I remember seeing several youth, probably in their late teens, about 18 to about 20 or so. Even before they sat down, they were yelling at the waiters or waitresses, as if they own the restaurant, as if they are the boss. It's this kind of rudeness. It's just terrible. And then very often I realize that we Christians, they do the same too. When we went to restaurants, the way we call the waiters, waitresses, we could be more polite, could be more gentle. I sometimes wonder if the waiter or the waitress found out that they are Christians, and yet the way they talk to them, wonder what would go through their mind. So Paul is telling Timothy, "Timothy, when others despise you, when others do something that is not right to you, don't try to fight back, but rather I want you to be an example in your words and also your deeds." The next two areas Timothy was to be examples are faith and love. Love and faith in that order. But I want to go and take a look at the faith first. Very often we hear people saying, "We need to have faith that tomorrow will be better. We need to have faith that the ending will be good." I wonder how many of you heard that kind of saying in some of the popular books or even on TV shows. You hear that, "Oh, I have faith." Faith in what? Tomorrow is going to be better than today. That's very common in this culture, such statements. But I don't think this is really the biblical teaching about what faith is. Biblical faith is to believe in the Creator God in all circumstances. Philip Yancey, in one of his books, wrote about, make a comment about this idea, we need to have faith that tomorrow will be better than today. He was talking about his experience with some of the poor, some of the elderly, in Chicago City. He said whenever he visited them, he realized their tomorrow may not necessarily be better than today. their circumstances, financial situation, their emotional status may not be better than what they're experiencing today. So he said, how can we tell them that your tomorrow will be better and you need to have faith? No. The scripture understanding of faith is no matter what situation I am in, even when I am in the deepest dump, I have to believe that my God is still in control, that there is still one God and one and only one God. He is faithful, He is loving, He is righteous. And for this reason, sometimes we need to say, Father, I believe you, but I help me with my unbelief. This is what faith is in the scripture, that no matter what situation we are in, when our personal life seems to be out of control, but yet we have to believe that God is still in control. He is still the good God. And that's why we need to say, God, help me. Help me with my unbelief. And then Timothy was reminded to be an example, besides faith, now love. In the Bible, love always means loving God and loving man. Love others as yourself. Love your neighbors. It refers to wholeheartedly loving others, unconditionally loving those, especially the ones you don't quite like. Someone despises you, man, you have that unpleasant feeling. I don't think you really want to talk to that person again. You don't want to have anything to do with him or her. But yet, when you look at the scripture, Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to be an example. You are to be an example in loving, in love to the people that you don't like. Because you see, our faith in God is to be expressing our loving Him and also those that He will bring into our lives. Faith in God without action is a false faith. It's dead faith. And then the last area, Timothy, and us are to be examples for others of purity. John Stott in his book called this purity, self-control. It is natural for us to eat what we like, isn't it? The sweet stuff, or the sour stuff, and then I like the spicy stuff. And then, of course, many of us like the chocolate, the Godiva chocolate, right? You like it. Does it take you any effort to eat those things? No. Right, you just go out and you see there. I mean, your first inclination is, I take it and I'll eat it. It doesn't require effort. It doesn't require self-control. But to eat less of that, boy, that's tough, right? To eat less of the spicy stuff, to eat less of the sweet stuff, to eat less of the chocolate, you have to make an effort. You have to discipline yourself. So this is what purity is. It's very natural for us to follow our human nature, our lust, to do things that are not appropriate, to speak out when we're angry, using angry words to attack others. It doesn't take an effort. You do not have to tell yourself, boy, he's mean to me. He's belittled me. He has despised me. Now I'm going to fight back. I'm going to say to him that you are a dot, dot, dot. We don't. It's very natural. But for you to refrain from doing it requires discipline. And that's why John Stott said that purity really means self-control, self-mastery. And so this is what we have to do. You know, when we're being despised by others, it's very easy for us to react with our natural negative, our natural and also sometimes negative emotions, negative behaviors. And then also remember, when we do that, we're being controlled by the other person. That at the end of the day, then you are really the loser, isn't it? And so Paul in this particular verse was really telling us, don't let another person control you. Don't react to their negative behaviors with negative behaviors. But instead, I want you to be examples to them. To those that have looked down upon you, be an example to them in being loving, caring, in being consistent in what you believe and in what you act, and also the self-mastery. And then Paul also went on to say that when you are being despised, you are to continue with the reading, that is the proclamation, the explaining of the word. Because of time limitation, I just want to address the last verse a little. Paul is talking about, you know, when people look down on you, there's one thing I would like for you to do, is that you need to continue on with your faith, your commitment, so that other people can see your growth. When you react in a negative way, there's sometimes people will wonder, yeah, he called himself a Christian, but yet he behaved this way. But yet Paul in the final verse was telling Timothy, I want you to be persistent, being very consistent. Keep on being examples to others. Keep on studying God's word so that you others can see how you have changed. I remember several years ago, we were interviewing someone for the position in the church. We call up some references. This person, a young man, was from our church several years ago. And so we call up the references, and then we found out, oh, this is what so-and-so is like. Since I don't know too much about this young man, so I asked one of our ministers, I said, well, from what you have heard from the references about this person, and also from what you knew about this person 10 years ago, do you see any change in him? And then he thought for a little while, and he said, no, he's pretty much the same. Well, that's kind of sad, isn't it? 10 years, during that 10-year period, people that know you have not seen any evidence of change in your life. Paul is saying that Timothy, as you being examples to others, it's important that others also see that you have grown. I heard a lot of good things about the young people in this church, how you grew up, and a lot of you went away to school, colleges. Now you're active in different churches, you maintain your faith, and so when you come back, that is really good and encouraging. So when you look at yourself, okay, where am I today? And maybe 5 or 10 years later, there will be a change, isn't it? See, that you have grown, that you have matured. In the 50s, there was a certain church in Mississippi. A young black Bible college student applied for membership in that little Baptist church. However, because of his skin color, he was turned down. Can you imagine if Larry and Jerry would apply for church membership here? We'd say, oh no, we can't take you as a member. Why? Because you're different from us. But it happened in those days in the southern city. He was turned down because of his skin color. But he did not give up, but he persevered in his growth, in the study of the Word, in his maturity. Now today, he's recognized, a recognized preacher and also church leader in the American churches. Now, he is in Dallas, and his name is Tony Evans. Most of you know, have heard of him. Isn't it? Being despised because of skin color. Yet he did not give up. He was not bitter or resentful, but keep on going. Keep on studying God's word. Keep on proclaiming God's word. And that brings him to where he is today. I still remember when I was baptized in high school, the first year in high school. And then for some reason, the pastor gave me, I think he gave me 11 books. It's all autobiographies of missionaries or pastors. Now, that started my reading habit, too. And I remember in one of those books, he wrote down this verse, do not be despised by others, but be examples in words and deeds, love, faith, and purity. And so when I was going through this passage, it brings back a lot of memory as I reflect upon my life. Oh, there were a lot of times I failed. I feel discouraged about the faith and about my Christian life. Sometimes feel discouraged in ministry and wanting to give up. And then I remember these words. It is my prayer and also my desire that when you're young, because most of us are very young, remember these words. Memorize this verse. Don't let others despise you because of your youth, but be examples in words, deeds, love, faith, and purity. May this become the guiding principle in your life. Be an example to others. Oh, there are not too many examples around you. Now, that's kind of unfortunate. But don't let that bother you. You be an example to others. Shall we pray? Father, we want to ask you to really now help us to learn how to be an example to the people that you have brought into our lives. Even when no one is around us, we ask that you help us to remember the word, that we be examples for others, for all believers, in words, in deeds, in love, faith, and purity. Thank you for being with us, and we ask you, Spirit, we continue to speak to us through the communion, through the music. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.